The Last Kids on Earth and their superhero alter egos are back in the latest installment of the graphic novel spinoff series, The Last Comics on Earth, Too Many Villains. Jack, June, Quint, and Dirk face their biggest challenge yet, creating the sequel to their hit graphic novel in a mad dash, puzzle-filled race across Apocalyptia to stop the biggest evil plan in history. Hey, you know what the creators of Last Comics on Earth's evil plan is? Make me and my kids love these books. Seriously, my younger kid is a huge fan of both the Last Kids series and the Last Comic series.
It's true.
And now I'm hooked too. The whole team has created a delightful cast of characters with some fantastic kid-friendly art throughout that will appeal to readers of all ages. Buy your copy of The Last Comics on Earth in stores today. You can also visit lastkidsonearth.com to learn more. What is up, everybody? Welcome to Comic Book Club. I'm Alex.
I'm Justin.
I'm Pete.
And we are here with writer extraordinaire Torin Grontback. Welcome. Woo-hoo. Did I get it right?
Yeah, that was really good. The Perfect. Other thing is, like, if you're trying to say my name like the Norwegians would, okay, it would be Torin Grontback, but no one. Like, that's not a thing.
Yes.
Like, no one says that.
That's what I'm going to do from now on.
I'd attempt to do it, but I feel like it would be insulting.
No, but I think it's like, I don't get, like, just say it with confidence. That's how you say my name.
Torin Grontback?
Yeah, that was perfect. Oh, lovely.
Great.
Just,
all right,
again,
great.
Confidence.
Well, thanks for coming for the interview. That's all we need to check. We are big fans of your work. You obviously have a ton of stuff going on right now. I wanted to jump in and talk about Realm of X to start, if that's cool. So we've been doing a dedicated Fall of X podcast where we've been diving into the stuff. And Realm of X is such a interesting thing in the mix to me because it is literally taking these characters and throwing them off to the side. It's a fascinating, very unexpected mix of characters. Where did the idea start with? What did they come to you with? What did you throw in? How did this happen?
Well, we knew we wanted to have like a set of characters in a very unexpected place, and we were sort of like, should we send them to Asgard? We were discussing doing that at some point, and we didn't have the characters yet. We wanted, after sort of the fall, we wanted someone to be lost somewhere.
Okay.
And then I was trying to sort of figure out what we could do and who could be part of the team and how they would end up there. And the way they end up there, and I don't think you know this yet, so I'm not going to tell you, but there is a certain, it needed to be a certain randomness to the cast, because it wouldn't make sense if they were sort of like, oh, this is the team. And because of the story sort of calls for a certain friction between the team members, if we're going to call them a team, the people who are by default a team because they're there together, sort of. And this was sort of my dream cast, because I always say I follow the story, but they're so brilliant. Like, they are my favorite X-Men, I think.
Really? What do you like about that? What do you like about these characters in particular? What draws you
to
them?
Oh, my God. The thing is, like, Danny, as always, I've been able to write Danny before, and she's always sort of, I think she's a great character. She's extremely interesting. Her powers are great. She's great. Like, that's all good stuff, right? I wanted Danny. I knew that. Marvel wanted magic, and I love magic, so I was fully on board with that. We had some sort of discussions. We knew the people in general loved magic. Mm-hmm. So it sort of, if we can have magic, then we can get away with like marrow.
Yeah.
Because that's not necessarily like I know a lot of people love marrow. I love marrow.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I think marrow's a sneaky like underground hit.
Yeah. I think so.
It's like a B-side, a great B-side on an album.
That's what I'm like. It's just excellent. But we couldn't have like five Marrows, if you know what I mean. Like, we needed something else. And Justice, she is one of my favorite characters. I think she's heavily like underutilized. I think she's great, and she's got a sort of violence to her that I think, like, when you really look at her powers and see what she can do. She probably wouldn't use it as violently as she has the capacity to, but there's something interesting there. Sort of, I don't know.
I really like the way the book is balancing, like you said, the seeming randomness of the characters and then the prophecy stuff, plus the sort of world where like they were going in as a culture, going a certain direction and totally pulled away from it. Is that that feels like that's all going to come together into one sort of big smash-up.
Well, I mean, let's hope that's how it feels like. No, it's interesting because I didn't want to lose the X-Men feel of it, which is sort of hard to do in Marvel because it's so fantasy. And that's sort of how we ended up with the villain that we did. I'm not sure if we should spoil that. It's the last page of the first issue. I'm not sure if we should tell the world.
It's been out for a while.
It's the White Witch. I don't know. And at some point, I realized I was riding along, and it happened purely by coincidence. But there's a certain Narnia element.
Well, we were identifying that, and it feels again like you're playing with this fairy tale world, but it's also an X-Men.
The thing is, so tell me, because I've been struggling with this for the past 6 months. What makes a good X-Men book, in your opinion? What's a good X-Men book?
I would say part of it is that they're down and out, to put it simply. Like, they're always, like, on their back heels. They're always losing or on the brink of losing at all
points. Always miserable.
Not even always miserable, because
unless they're playing baseball as a family.
There you go. Yes, because I love the baseball stuff, and I love the happy stuff and the romance, but there's something about, like, they can never... And they have been for a while in this winning position, but clearly what Fall of X has done is they have put them back in the most awful way, in my opinion, in the X-Men sweet spot.
Yeah.
And my favorites are when it's a seemingly random team, so crushing that with a strong intention. Because I feel like those end up being the ones where they feel so distinct from so many other previous X-Men stories.
Very cool. I mean, I've been thinking about it a lot because I know what... I think I know what makes like a good Thor comic, and I think I know what makes a good Carnage comic, but what makes a good X-Men comic has been a little elusive to me. Mm-hmm. Sort of what I've come up with, I've said this before, is like it's punching and horniness. Like that's it.
Sure,
you just have
sense.
To get the balance of...
For me, it's just it's a group of outcasts that somehow come together regardless of, like, how bad they're doing or whatever to save the day.
Save the day. Well, that's a good one.
Well, I want to ask you because, like you said, you're writing Thor. You have Carnage upcoming, right, at this point. Those are both solo characters. Is that something that's more comfortable for you than the team dynamic?
Well, I think so. At least, like, the team thing, it's sort of interesting, especially in the Marvel setting, just because people are so obsessed with specific characters. So if you don't get them enough time in each issue, someone's going to be disappointed. And when I did Valkyrie, we often had Jane Foster and Runa, but that sort of worked out because they weren't on the same page a lot. And when they were, they sort of worked very well together. But when you have, like, we didn't get to Typhoid Mary earlier, who is also just like, I don't know, fucking delight of my life. It's just, that was Lauren Amaro, who is the editor, who is just a wonderful editor. She was like, what about Mary?
That's the ultimate wild card.
Yeah.
And that book, I was like, what?
So we have Maro, who's sort of a wild card, and then you have Mary, who is just, she's not cooperating with anyone. It's great.
No.
I love it. Yeah. And I do enjoy having at least one character. It feels like me. I don't know. It feels like... but it's more difficult to write a good team book, I think, than write a good solo book.
Well, Mary's sort of the Carnage of the X-Men team there, right?
Carnage of the X-Men. That's good. Yeah.
Well, let's talk about Carnage then.
Yes,
he has
please.
Been through so many permutations at this point, but I believe on your book, finally we're getting Cletus Kasady back in the costume, or in some fashion. You give it a little bit of a
look. I'm not sure how much I will say this. We're getting 90s Cletus Kasady.
All right.
That's what we're getting.
Right.
And in the most symbiote way possible. And it's one of those things, like, there's one page where I'm like, it might be too silly, but just go with it. Do not overthink it. Just go with it. You get Cletus from the 90s. It's fucking brilliant. And I went back and I read a bunch of the Carnage comics from the 90s, which they were the ones who got me into Carnage in the first place. And they are fucking insane. Like, the inner monologue, everything. I don't know. There's a blood to it that I really enjoy.
Well, to dig into that a little further, to throw the X-Men question back at you, what works about a Carnage book?
See, that's a good question. especially, I know that we need some symbiote nonsense, right? We need some pages with just, like, they're just...
Some goopy.
Yeah.
Some goopy pages.
Yeah. There's going to be a bunch of punching and a bunch of nonsense. But the thing about Cletus is that you also need some twistedness. You need some horror that will sort of fuck with your mind as well as your, you know, the visuals. I would like you at some point during this run to be like, well, Cletus makes some good points. That's what we're going for.
That's quite...
I would have you be like, well, it's sort of... First of all, Pere is... killing all the pages. They're just beautiful. It's sort of hot, which is disturbing.
Oh, yeah.
And it makes some good points.
Well, I think that kind of leads into how people treat serial killers, right? Like that they fetishize them in a certain
way.
Okay.
And there's a whole thing. I'm enjoying it so much. I would say I don't think I've ever written a book that sort of came as easily, which I'm not sure what that says about me. But it's just, it's been a joy, and it's been a joy to see the pages come in. And if people hate this book, I don't know what I'm supposed to be doing, because it's there. It's all there.
Let's talk about Thor a little bit, because it feels like it is part of this enormous Uber story that is building in Marvel. That's a key part of it. What is it like having that responsibility to sort of put in these building blocks that are leading up to something?
Up to something. Well, the thing is, like, it is interesting to figure out what we can give away and what we can't, and which sort of threads to tighten up. Before Al sort of took over, we knew we needed to... Well, as, like, the Valkyrie woman at Marvel, it was important to me that we resolved the souls that were lost from Valhalla. Mm-hmm. We needed to get them back. Like Jane Foster would not be having coffee somewhere if all the souls were lost. Like, that's not a thing. So we had some things that we really needed to do, and we still wanted to keep some things warm while not giving too much away. It's a balancing act. I don't know.
Especially between Thor and Carnage, like, there's been a lot of just mythology. I mean, Thor has real-life mythology, and then so much of Marvel mythology. Carnage has just developed all this mythology. How are you carving your way through all of this story that's there?
Well, for Carnage, like, Carnage ends, like, the previous book with being sort of like, am I a god? What's going on? So that is a main part of the book, is him trying to figure out sort of what is he? If he has the powers of a god, does that make him a god? And if so, what does that mean? So we are playing around a lot with mythology, but without being too hoity-toity about it. It's just sort of like, we're just sort of fucking around with everyone who... I don't know, it's I don't want to give anything away, but mythology is a big part of it. I can say that.
Yeah. Well, and it feels like Carnage, though, it makes sense to play fast and loose with it, because Carnage would do that.
Yeah.
And Thor, it feels like, is a little more formal with it, because that's what Thor would do.
Oh, yeah. And I think, like, I'm from Norway, if that wasn't clear. I'm named after Thor. I grew up with the Norse myths as a sort of, like, the stories that were told. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
In fun ways. And I always thought there is a certain joy to the Marvel Universe, how they treat mythology. And I was working with... My first book at Marvel was co-writing with Jason. And Jason was sort of like, do whatever you want, go ahead. So I kept texting him, like, can I make up a planet? He's like, darling, do whatever the fuck you want. I'm like, oh, can I? And there is a sort of... When you sort of get to that point where I'm like, I can do whatever. We can just have a bunch of fun as long as... It needs to make sense to a certain extent. It's great.
Now, when you tell people back home that you're working on Thor, do they, like, roll their eyes? Like, it's a little over the plate?
Well, the thing is, like, some people... I don't know. Norwegians are weird. But the thing is, like, they don't understand what I do. That's the thing. So I have to start from the very beginning.
Zero.
Like, I write the comics, and they're like, what does that mean? Like, page one, panel one, blah, blah, blah. Like, it's very hard to explain. My mother... she's like, I used to, just to set the context here, I used to go to Viking Festival in full Viking garb, sit around tending the fire for a week at the time when I was a kid. Like, I'm a fucking parody of a Norwegian.
So, on the nose.
It's ridiculous. Like, my name means the one who's loved by Thor. Seriously. Wow. Like, it's ridiculous.
There there it is.
Does that put pressure on you then?
Well, I don't know. Like, it's a thing that Americans seem to enjoy a lot. Yeah. And every time, I keep telling this story about my name because I think it's so funny. Mm-hmm. It was usually at Comic-Con, so people go, "I don't understand your name." I go, "You know the god Thor? It's Thor-un." And like, "Oh, sure, right." And I try that at a train from like L.A. to Kansas with some random dude I was having dinner with, just because they place you with random people.
Right.
And I said, "So you know the god Thor?" And he threw his fist on the table and went, "There's only one god." And I was like, "Oh,
no.
America, I love you. You're so..." Oh, man.
My name translates to the one who podcasts at Comic-Cons.
Oh, excellent. So, yeah. That was
also
fate.
Very
little on the nose.
Yes.
Little on the nose.
I did want to ask you, you're also doing Red Sonja at the same time. And this feels like... this feels like, and I say this complimentarily, more of a traditional run on Red Sonja, like really digging into those classic Red Sonja style adventures.
Yes.
What draws you to her?
Well, the thing is, like, I used to play Red Sonja as a kid, like running around in the forest with an actual sword.
So you
sword.
Had no choice but to write all of these comics.
No,
like, your whole destiny is...
And you were a serial killer for a while, right?
Yeah, absolutely, honey.
Yes.
Yeah, when Joe asked me if I wanted to, I don't think I've ever said yes to any Project Foster. It was like, yeah, sure, absolutely. And it's been a sort of, because there, I don't feel the need to teach anyone about anything in Red Sonja. It's just fun. I just want everyone to get all the stupid jokes. That's what I'm going for. And there's so, like, there is one in the Free Comic Book Day issue where... she's walking past a wall, like there's a sort of like a piece of justice, a guy chopping off arms for people who have stolen things.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a wall of arms, and it says they stole, and then there's a bunch of heads of people who have been decapitated, and it says they murdered, and then there's just a wall with they raped, and you can't really see what's hanging there. And I got some angry fucking emails about that one.
Really?
Yeah, I'm like, yes, this is... Yeah, good. But the thing is, like, it's Free Comic Book Day. It was... Yeah. I assume kids were buying it.
Oh, no.
I would get it.
Well, that's on the parents. That's on the parents.
Yeah, I don't know. You know, the kids should be reading this. Let the kids have something.
Yeah.
Exactly. I don't know what you're doing in this country.
It sounds like there's a natural crossover potentially between Red Sonja and Carnage in your...
I mean, the thing is, like, it is a... they're both... There's a lot of murder in both of them. A lot of heads flying. I don't know.
What else should people be checking out from you, if anything? What else do you want to plug?
Well, I'm doing Venom with Al Ewing, which is sort of we're splitting up the issues. So I'm writing some issues, he's writing some issues, and then we're going to tie it up in the end. And it's a deliciously fun time.
Mm-hmm.
And Venom is a very sort of... Venom is it like... So what makes a good Venom comic, do you think?
Oh, gosh.
Well, yeah, it's a lot of just eating bad guys is what makes a good
brains.
Eating bad guys, this is good. Do you like the chains?
No, I said eating brains.
Brains.
I don't know. It's funny you say that. I feel like we've read so much Venom, and my favorite from the recent few, like sort of 5 years, has been the Eddie focused stuff. So, like, I think Eddie, especially going back to the origin, it was all him. You know, he made the character, and then it's gotten a bit far afield. So I like bringing it back.
See, I've heard that from several people. It's always interesting to try to balance the sort of how to keep a character moving forward without sort of destroying what makes it great in the first place. And like with Red Sonja, I wanted to go big and back to basic. I did not want to be like, "Oh, Red Sonja gets a job." That's not... We'll see if she's a boss lady. I don't know. That's not a thing. So we just went big and back to basic. But I suppose the trick there is to find something just to delight people within the genre that is quite predictable in many ways.
Yeah. With Venom, I always forget how emotional the start of Venom is. It's like this guy, he's like suffering, and the symbiote finds him, and all the symbiote being like jilted by Peter Parker. It's sort of like, it's such a weird like love triangle almost, that like that part I feel like has been a little bit lost.
Oh yeah, and now we have a lot of daddy issues right now. We can't really get away from that. But and I'm writing like Toxin and Venom together. So you have Bren, who has Ozark as his dad, and that's not working out quite well. And Dylan is running around being angry with Eddie for fucking off, and it's that's not great. Like it's like Daddy Issue Central.
It's a lot of Edness is fine, but it's a lot of darkness and violence and dark characters. Do you have any urge to be like, I'm gonna do a My Little Pony book?
No.
All right.
Which of those ponies kills is my question.
I'm doing Nightmare Before Christmas now.
Oh.
Which is a fun thing technically, but it is one of those like it's Disney, it's American. I'm just trying to figure out like how far can we we can't.
Apparently, the voice of Jack Skellington was here. Did you get to meet him?
No, I don't give a shit about him. So far, I couldn't give less of a shit. I'm sure he's a lovely man. I just couldn't even try to give a shit.
Totally fair. Where can people check you out online?
I'm on Twitter, I'm on Instagram, I'm on all the things. Google my name, you'll find me.
All right, awesome. Torn?
Yeah.
Close?
Yeah.
All right, thank you so much for coming on. It was a pleasure chatting.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah.
You bet.
And if you'd like to support this podcast and all the podcasts we do, patreon.com/comicbookclub. Also, we do a live show every Tuesday night at 7 p.m. to Facebook and YouTube. Come hang out. We would love to chat with you about comics. Apple, Android, Spotify, or the app of your choice to subscribe, listen, and follow the show at Comic Book Live on Twitter, Comic Book Club Live on TikTok or Instagram, comicbookclublive.com for this podcast, and many more. Until next time, we'll see you at the comic book shop. Of the failure.